Where are you going?
Church with Rob.
My monsters weren't in the closet. They weren't under my bed. They were my dreams, large, sometimes hairy with fangs, sometimes transparent outlines of human form, mist with just enough touch to get me. I didn't know if I had night terrors. I just know that I was scared shitless to fall asleep for two reasons. The monsters in my dreams, and the bizarre thought that I had to be awake to breathe. Not so bizarre in retrospect. I had and have terrible allergies, and breathing was hard enough, so I figured it was damn near impossible when I was asleep. Drove my parents nuts. Lucky for me, they were kind and collectively had a good sense of humor. I also actually worked on getting to sleep because being tired during the day and afraid at night was no fun. About the same time, in my early yet aware youth, I discovered two things. There are going to be a lot of pairs in this one. You can sleep on your side, so breathing whilst asleep was actually a rational expectation. And two, you can control your dreams. What was once a mighty house of dreamscape horror became a fantastic movie that I could control. My dreams did and still do have plots, characters, soundtracks. I even have serial recurring dreams. Once I civilized my monsters, my nocturnal world became my playground. These terrifying illusions transformed into the stuff of creativity, of comfort, and adventure. My mental nightbreed creatures metamorphized into my familiar friends. For some reason, a number of politicians and pundits are speaking of and championing monsters. Not in our collective subconscious, but in real life. Men and boys, the thinking goes, should be monsters. They should be taught and encouraged to do terrible things and then control this capacity. Keep it in the background, the shadows, hopefully never used. But if there is a need and a crisis arises, they can bring forth the monster within. And the fact that we don't teach our men and boys to be monsters as part of this crisis of masculinity in the world, and in particular in the United States. And if we don't enable and allow for monsters and monstrous behavior, we collectively, humanity, we are doomed. TV specials, products, supplements, gangs of man children carrying guns, playing soldier, beating the crap out of each other as an initiation, regulating their masturbation to keep their edge. All these things are being done in the name of saving mankind. Emphasis on man. And it's all bullshit. Allow me to restate. It's all bullshit. First, we don't need to foster monsters. We are all, men and women alike, born in what the Enlightenment would call a state of nature. Meaning, we are born monsters. We eat everything in sight. We put everything in our mouths. We poop and piss everywhere at any time. When I was a kid, not only did I poop and piss everywhere at any time, I was a baby, I took that poop and piss and decided to rub it all over my bedroom walls. Again, my parents are kind and they have good senses of humor. We are the center of our own little universes, demanding constant attention, literally incapable of doing anything for ourselves. We take, we bully, and we cry until we get our way. We are creatures of the first order. Then we grow, we mature, are introduced to civilization, to socialization, to friendships, to higher concepts. Dare I even say, first principles. The maturation process isn't the monster controlled. It is the monster humanized. Virtue isn't about controlling our basic instincts. As anyone with an addiction can attest, controlling it doesn't solve it. Control is a breaking dam, and your meager attempts at plugging it fail. Virtue is to take on the mantle of civilization. It is to initialize and internalize and make the monster into something, to become something, to transform a brute into a human being, a mensch. These are the first principles that these politicians and pundits supposedly celebrate, unless, of course, they want to defend acts of treason or cruelty or bigotry. Then the principles be damned. It's the beast made body. This is hypocrisy. This is what Jesus couldn't stand. How do we know? It's all over the Gospels. Hypocrites don't get much sympathy. Neither do the judgmental or the discourteous, particularly to strangers. Nope. Beast mode, even in the defense of faith, is not a thing. You pray for your enemies. You don't kill and eat them. You turn the other cheek to be struck again. You give your coat and cloak. You get rid of your earthly possessions for the riches of heaven. We aren't to be or become the hairy thing with fangs. We are to become the hopeful thing with love. The living in the faith is in the becoming in the faith. And this hokum about a crisis of masculinity is in reality a crisis of meaning. Some find meaning in themselves or their work or their relationships. A good number of us are so desperate to find a reason that we'll take on anything offered to us, especially if it plays to our fears and insecurities, particularly if it's wrapped in the God wrapper, or the patriot wrapper, or the protector wrapper. Instead of doing the work of meaning, we purchase it with money, attention, adulation, anger, and hate. It's cheap. It's easy. Regrets are for the morning. The hangover is later. I want to feel good and righteous now. Let's not address the chemicals and the stressors and the anxiety that's driving down the sperm count and driving down life expectancy and driving up illness and suicide. No. Let's tan our testicles and act like assholes because men. I say, instead of being monster men, let's be gentlemen. Let's be exemplars of a civil and just society. Let's be more than men, gentlemen. Let's be mensches, human beings who acknowledge, respect, and celebrate the humanity in each other. I'm reminded of a poem that I had to learn when I pledged a fraternity. It's by John Walter Wayland. It's called The True Gentleman. I'm going to update it for you. I'm going to call it The Mensch. The Mensch. The Mensch is the person whose conduct proceeds from goodwill, an acute sense of propriety, and whose self-control is equal to all emergencies. Who does not make the poor person conscious of their poverty, the obscure person of their obscurity, or anyone of their inferiority or deformity, who is humbled when necessity compels him or her or them to humble another, who does not flatter wealth, cringe before power or boast of their own possessions or achievements, who speaks with frankness, but always with sincerity and sympathy, whose deed follows their word, who thinks of the rights and feelings of others rather than their own, and who appears well in any company. A person with whom honor is sacred and virtue safe. The mensch. I strive to be a mensch. I'm a work in progress, leaving my monsterhood to bottles and pacifiers and childlike things, because I strive to be a person of civilization. I strive to exemplify the first principles. I want to be better, and I work at it every day. Sometimes I succeed, sometimes I fail. And that's the beauty of having another day, because you get to start all over again. So next time you're thinking about being monstrous, next time you're thinking solely about yourself instead of the rights and feelings of others, take a breath, look in the mirror, and see the mensch that's wanting to become you. Church with Rob.